The title of my sermon is Snapshots of Christmas. And the passage is the passage that's printed in your bulletin, so you can just follow along there, or you can look in your Bible if you'd like. You know, Time magazine recently ran a story on the 100 most influential photographs ever taken. And this is one of them. It's a photograph taken by a father of his newborn daughter. And you're probably thinking, well, what's so influential about that? It's a baby picture. But it's not just a baby picture. It's the world's first cell phone picture. It was taken in 1997 by a man named Philippe Kahn. And Kahn was a software entrepreneur living in California, and his wife was about to give birth to their daughter, Sophie. And so while Kahn was waiting around in the hospital, he linked a digital camera to his flip phone, and he synced the two together with a few lines of code that he wrote on his laptop. And then when Sophie was born, Kahn took this picture and he shared it instantly with more than 2,000 people. 3 years later, Sharp Corporation used Kahn's technology to make the first commercially available integrated camera phone. And the rest, as they say, is history. You know, there's something that just feels right about the fact that the first cell phone picture was taken. It was a snapshot of a baby, right? As Faith Hill's Christmas song says, a baby changes everything. And that's why we're here tonight on Christmas Eve, to celebrate the fact that 2,000 years ago, long before cell phones, a baby was born that changed everything. The birth of Jesus changed our world forever. And we have no photographs from that night. There were no pictures taken to record what happened on that first Christmas. But God made sure that it was recorded in His Word. And in the Christmas story that we read earlier from chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, Luke gives us a snapshot of that first Christmas. But actually, he gives us two snapshots. The first one taken at a manger in Bethlehem, and the second one taken in some fields nearby. And so I want us to take a few minutes tonight to look at those two snapshots and then talk about what they mean for us tonight on this Christmas Eve, 2,000 years later. Now, in the first 7 verses of Luke chapter 2, Luke takes his first snapshot of Christmas. He gives us an account of the birth of Jesus, and it's a picture of normal, everyday events. The things that happen in the first 7 verses can all be described as ordinary and natural. First, we're told that the Roman emperor calls for a census to be taken of the Roman Empire. And that's not unusual. We take a census in this country every 10 years, right? But the difference was that with this Roman census, they didn't come around and knock on everybody's door to get their information. They made people travel to their hometown to register. It was easier on the census takers and harder on the people. And in verse 4, we're told that one of the people who has to travel to his hometown is Joseph. He lives in Nazareth, but his family is from Bethlehem. And so he takes his wife, Mary, and they go to Bethlehem to register for the census. And oh, by the way, Mary's pregnant. And her due date comes while they're still in Bethlehem. And verse 7 tells us that she gave birth to a baby boy, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's the first snapshot that Luke gives us. It's a young couple having their first child and then wrapping him up and laying him down to go to sleep. It's the most ordinary and natural picture in the world, and it's taken from a human perspective. And from a human perspective, there's nothing unique about Joseph and Mary having a baby in Bethlehem on that first Christmas. There's nothing unique about that. Couples have babies all the time. In December 2013, UNICEF estimated that 353,000 babies are born in the world each day. That's a lot of babies. There's nothing unique about having a baby. And even the difficult circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth were probably not unique to Mary and Joseph. Mary was certainly not the only pregnant woman who had to travel somewhere to register for this census. And she's not the only woman who ever gave birth in an unexpected and an undesirable location. When I worked as a lawyer, one of my legal secretaries once gave birth to her child in a car in a Wendy's parking lot. Not the ideal situation. But so again, my point is that Luke's first snapshot here is just an ordinary and a natural picture of a couple having a baby, one that is taken entirely from a human perspective. Nothing that we see here in these first 7 verses indicates to us that the birth of this child is actually a one-of-a-kind, earth-shattering, world-changing event. But then we come to verses 8 through 14 of chapter 2, and Luke takes a second snapshot of that first Christmas. And this is another picture taken on the same night, not very far away. The scene shifts now to the fields just outside of Bethlehem, where shepherds are watching over their flocks at night. But there is nothing ordinary or natural about the second picture. Everything in the second snapshot is extraordinary and supernatural. It starts with an angel suddenly appearing before the shepherds, surrounded by the brilliance of God's glory. That's not a normal, everyday event. And we're told that the shepherds were terribly frightened, and understandably so, right? And then the angel speaks, saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And suddenly there's not just one angel, but an army of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host. And altogether the angels praise God and say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Again, not something you see every day. And that concludes Luke's second snapshot. It's completely different from the first one. But it's the second snapshot that explains the first one. Without the second picture taken in the fields outside of Bethlehem, the significance of what's going on over in town would be entirely missed. Everything we see in this second snapshot lets us know that this is no ordinary child, that the birth of Christ is, in fact, a one-of-a-kind, earth-shattering, world-changing event from God's perspective. From God's perspective. Now, we read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 every year. We look at these two snapshots every Christmas, and we do it for a reason. This passage is important because it reminds us of what Christmas is all about. And we need that reminder because it's easy in today's society for us to get confused about what Christmas is and what it isn't. For example, Christmas is not a feeling. Christmas is not a feeling. Some people spend the holiday season trying to get into the Christmas spirit. They go searching for that perfect Hallmark Christmas moment, and they think that they'll find it when they give the perfect Christmas gift or eat the perfect Christmas meal, or when they wake up on Christmas morning and there's snow on the ground. And when they get that feeling inside, they say, "That's what Christmas is all about." But that's not what Christmas is all about. It's not about achieving some kind of magical mood that makes us feel warm inside and gives us goodwill towards other people, at least until December 26th, right? Christmas is not a feeling, and Christmas is not an appeal. Christmas is not an appeal. For some people, that's what Christmas has become. And that's because everywhere you go this time of year, people are asking for money. They send us letters in the mail. We see them standing and ringing bells outside of stores in front of red kettles, all of them making their appeal. The Salvation Army, the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Toys for Tots, Angel Trees, whatever it may be. And people drop some money in the kettle as they go in the store, and they say to themselves, "Isn't that what Christmas is all about?" But that's not what Christmas is all about. Yes, giving is part of it, but Christmas is not just a time for us to give to others because we feel guilty because we have so much and they have so little, or even because we feel generous and we want to spread some Christmas cheer. Christmas is not an appeal. And Christmas is not a tradition that we observe every year. For some people, Christmas is just another season of the year, like spring and summer and fall and winter. And when Christmas time rolls around each December, they do all the traditional things that they do every December. They go up in the attic and they bring down all the Christmas decorations and they put them all in the same place. And they listen to the same Christmas music and they wear the same Christmas sweaters and they bake the same Christmas cookies and they host the same get-togethers with family and friends. And as they do all these, as they observe all of these traditions, they say to themselves, "That's what Christmas is all about." But they're wrong. It's not a bad thing to have traditions that bring back memories of Christmases from the past. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that those traditions are not what Christmas is all about. So if Christmas is not a feeling or an appeal or a tradition, if those things are not what Christmas is all about, well, then what is Christmas all about? That's the question, right? Well, Luke points us to the answer in his passage. Christmas is an announcement. Christmas is an announcement. At its very core, Christmas is an announcement from God. That's what we see in the second snapshot that Luke gives us. Angels from heaven come down to earth to make an announcement. They come to announce good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. They come to announce that the one who made heaven and earth has left his throne in heaven to come down to earth. And he has come to bring glory to God and peace to men. He has come to be born as a baby and to die on the cross and to save the world. And that's what Christmas is all about. Amen? And so if Christmas is an announcement, then what does that mean for us tonight? What difference does it make to us as we celebrate Christmas as a church and as individuals? Well, for one thing, it should make a difference in the way we celebrate Christmas. Because there's really only two things you can do with an announcement. You can make it, and you can hear it. That's the only two things you can do. You can make an announcement, or you can hear an announcement. An announcement involves an announcer, and it involves an audience. You have someone who makes the announcement and someone else who hears it, and that's it. That's all that's involved. And so if Christmas is an announcement, and if those are the only two things you can do with an announcement, then our celebration should be centered around those two things, right? As we gather to celebrate Christmas as a church, we should always be proclaiming the good news of the gospel, always making the announcement that Christ is born, and always inviting other people to come and hear it. That's what we should be doing. And that's why we're here tonight. And that's why we will be here again tomorrow morning. We're here to worship our Lord and Savior, and because we love to tell the story, amen? In the words of the hymn writer, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. And then it continues, I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. And maybe you're here this evening and God's been speaking to your heart. And for the first time in your life, you've really heard God's message of salvation tonight. You've really understood it. Maybe for the first time in your life, God has opened your eyes and you see the true meaning of Christmas. And if that's you, then how will you respond tonight? Will you ask Jesus to forgive your sins and to be your Savior? Will you do that tonight? There's no better time and no better place to receive God's salvation than right here and right now on this Christmas Eve. And I invite you to do that if you've not done it before. I invite you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in His death on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, to make you right before God. That's the only way it can be done. Just ask for God's salvation tonight, and you will receive it. It will be given to you. That's the promise of God. And if you want to make that decision tonight, I would invite you to come and talk to me after the service. I'll be at the back of the sanctuary, and I would love to visit with you, pray with you, answer any questions that you have, talk about what it means to follow Christ, anything that we could do tonight. But don't wait another day. Receive Christ, receive His salvation on this Christmas Eve if you've never done it before. And if you've already done that, if you've already heard and believed the announcement that God made on that first Christmas, then my question for you is, will you switch roles? Will you go from sitting in the audience to being the announcer? That's what God is calling us to do. In the words of one of my favorite Christmas songs, which we didn't sing tonight, God calls each of us to go tell it on the mountain, right? Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. In other words, go out into the world and proclaim the good news. Announce the miracle of Christmas, the coming of Christ to be our Savior, to a world that needs to hear it. Will you do that? Will you take these two snapshots of Christmas and share them with someone else? We all love to share photos, right? We put them in albums, we post them on Facebook. God gave us these two snapshots so that we could share them with others. Will you do that? You know, all of us would still be lost if someone hadn't announced the good news to us. Not a single one of us would be saved unless we had heard about Christ from someone. So who's going to hear about Christ from you this Christmas? Let's pray about that. Bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me. And I want to start by giving you a moment of silent prayer. I'm going to give you just a moment to respond to God. Take a moment and tell God what's on your heart tonight on this Christmas Eve, and then I'll close us. Father, on this Christmas Eve, we thank You so much for the gift of Your Son. And Father, we ask that You would help us to remember that Christmas is an announcement. above all other things, it's an announcement of how much you love us. It's an announcement that you weren't going to forsake us and leave us in our sins, but that you sent our Savior. And Father, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear the announcement that Christ is born, that He has come to save the world. And for those of us who have already heard and who have already believed the good news, Father, let us go and tell the story of Christmas to other people. Let us go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And Father, we just pray that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we pray it in your Son's name. Amen.